But I just wanted to share a couple of thoughts with you, if that's all right. Some things that I've been working in and working with in my life, and because I think everything that we're doing at Bridgetown stems from what I'm hearing from the Lord, as I'm spending time in His Word, and as I'm in prayer, and as I'm watching and listening, and as I'm hanging out downtown, and as I'm reading, and God's speaking to me. And I love that, because it drives me. So I know, I try to make sure that I'm not doing anything in my own strength. Am I error-free in that? No. Lots of times I'm grabbing it and steering it, because that's when I get the most burnout, is when that happens. But if I can encourage you today, part of my mission statement in my life is to encourage, equip, and inspire people to greatness. That's what I suck air for. That's why I'm here. And I was thinking about this portion of Scripture because I was reading a book by a gentleman named Seth Godin, who wrote a book called Tribes. And in this book, it's a short little book. It's a great read. And I think he's a believer. He writes to people, and he mentions pastors a lot in his books and stuff. I think he's undercover a little bit, because he's in the marketing world as well. So I really dig his writings. And in this book, he talks about the power of a movement and how we need to create movements again. And it reminded me of what Christ came to do. And Christ didn't come to start a religion. He came to start a movement. That's what he did. He came to start a movement. And as I was reading this book, I thought about Christ and what he was like and what he started and what he wanted and what his passion was. And the Great Commission, and to see the church, just this incredible passion. And as I was reading this book, Seth Godin said there were three things that make up a movement. And if you think about all the movements in our time, they have these three things. First off, they have a story. Every movement has a story. It has some overarching story that it's a part of, and it sees itself as part of that. There's a history in that, a movement. The next thing is every movement has a leader. Every movement has a leader that comes to the front and leads that movement. You think of Martin Luther King Jr. Leader, story, history. And then the last one is every movement has a mission. Every movement has a mission. And so I thought, well, that's us. That's ours. That's us. That's Christianity. That's us today. That Jesus wanted us to be a movement, not just a religious institution. And I think in some ways, I'm not saying that about this, but in this place here, but for some of us, it could very well be that. It's become a religion. It's become a sin management program and a fire insurance policy, right? It's about just looking good, and we have to be careful with that. And so today, my passion is hopefully to encourage you, because here's the deal. You cannot be part of a movement unless you yourself are a movement. That's how it works. The little gal who sat down on the front seat of the bus and didn't move was tired of being stepped on. So she became a movement, and she didn't get up when they told her to get up. And so here we have this opportunity, and I was reading Scripture, and I see this portion here I want to read to you in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 20. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but by my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. I hate that, because Jesus always told them not to tell him. I couldn't do it, because I would go right out and tell him. But he told them not to tell him. So when I think about this, here's the beginning of a movement. Jesus asked the disciples the question, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And what do? They immediately go back to their story. They immediately go back to their history. They immediately go back and they name these prophets and these people, and they begin to name them. And it reminded me of our story as human beings here in this room today. Because we as people all have a story. If I'm going to sit down with you, Larry, and I'm going to say, "Larry, we're going to talk and get to know each other," you're going to say, "Tell me your story." I'm going to say, "Tell me your story." and we begin to dialogue about life. We begin to dialogue about what's going on. So we all have this story. But the problem with many of us is our story just ends with that. Rather than recognizing as believers in God, our story is an eternal story. And it doesn't just start in Genesis in the beginning. It actually starts in John chapter 1, verse 1. Actually starts there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you know, that whole portion of Scripture there. So there's this eternal story that we as believers, we as people of Christ, are a part of. It's a long story. It's a huge story. It's a wonderful story of the power of God, and we're part of that. We have these incredible battles in our story. It goes way beyond anything else. It's the story of humanity. And we're a part of that. If you have a problem with the story, you can call it a narrative if you want. You can call it an account. You can call it a witness, whatever you want to say. The same thing is, it's a story. This is my story. This is my song. And here's this opportunity where we get to talk about that story. I think about my story, and what happened was my story took a change when Christ came into my life. Because I was a homeless teenager. I was sleeping under someone's kitchen table as a junior in high school or a sophomore in high school. I saw all kinds of different things going on, but then God came in and changed the story. Rather than this determined story as if I went down this way, I'd just be one of those kids that never imagined anything, but God added He put a story with mine, and it changed my life, and it changed the direction of my life, and changed my story. So we all have this story. And maybe, and I don't know where your story's at right now, and I think about the part of the story that changed my life more than anything else was when I came into relationship with Jesus Christ as a seventh grader. And didn't know anything about God, and Preacher Fred from a small Baptist church right next to Fred Myers, wearing a black and white suit, jumped off this joy bus and brought me to Vacation Bible School. I was the oldest kid there because it ends at sixth grade, you know what I'm saying? But I wanted to go. Because you could win a candy bar. But God ambushed me in a good way. That week I received Christ. That's part of my story. And now I have this story that goes for eternity. It's incredible. The next part of this was the leader. That every person has a story. Every movement has a story. And the next one is every movement has a leader. And it says, Jesus says this. So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. See, they go back into the story of the Old Testament. They go back to talk about these things. But then Jesus asked them this, and this is what he's asking us today. Who do you say that I am? That's a very, very important part to answer to be part of this movement of people that are following Christ. You have to answer that question. And you see, Peter answers the question. And Jesus tells him, hey, good job. It wasn't you that thought of that or a great teaching by man, but it was by a revelation from my Father who gave that to you. We have to have the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's not our homeboy. He's not a great teacher. He's not one of my peeps. He's not just my Twitter pal. He's the Son of the living God who is present at creation. Who spoke things into play, who healed and raised the dead, who saves lives, who sacrificed his life. That's who he is. We have to have that revelation in order to be a part of this movement. That is that pivotal revelation that all of us must have. And some of us have maybe a little, Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? And you've got to understand, you can't just make up your own deal. One of the things that culture wants to do is rip the story off. They want to say, oh, let's take the deity away from God. We can't have a Jesus that's part man and part God. It just doesn't work. He's got to be those. And this is very important for us to answer. All of us have to answer that question because it's the leader that I'm following. Jesus is the leader that I'm following. This is what he did. Ultimately, this is what he did. And it comes down to this story right here. John and I are good buddies. We hang out. We have teriyaki together. And he wears flip-flops in church as a pastor. I'm struggling with that. But anyway, I'm just kidding. I Twittered that today. It was funny. And I was thinking about this story, and I told it last service, and John said I could tell it again because it was funny, so I'm going to go there. But I was thinking, as much as I think John is cool, There's this street that goes right in front of Night Strike, or it goes right in front of Liberation Street Church where we do orientation for Night Strike. You've been there before. It's a pretty quick street, and you got it's just a crosswalk. And where we're at is like all the bars and taverns, so there's probably people that are like totally oblivious to what's going on. And they're driving, and you have to kind of inch your way across the street and do this every once in a while because there's no light, there's nothing. It's just right there on 2nd and Burnside almost. And the cars come around a corner, so it's even that much more dangerous. Well, many times when I'm going over with my family, I will put, the cars are coming this way, I'll put my kids and Leslie on this side of me, and we'll walk so I can protect them, you know, in case something were to happen. Well, I was thinking about this, and the cars come in, and I was thinking if I had to choose, if John and I were walking, and my family was walking across the street, and my boys were going to get hit, and I had to choose who was going to get hit, and John was walking with me, I'm throwing John in front of the car. Not even a second chance. Sorry, John, because you didn't buy lunch last time. No, I'm just kidding. Wait, I'm throwing you in front of the car. But that's not what God did. That's not what my Heavenly Father did. Because he was going across the street, and he took his boy, and he threw his boy in front of the car. That's the essence of the leader that we follow. A servant of all servants. A leader that can be trusted in. A leader that can be followed in. A leader whose mission is not just some great plan or some vision that never comes to pass. It's the story of eternity. And this is our leader, Jesus, who we can follow. So we have this great story, but we also have this great leader. And then lastly, obviously all that wakes me up in the morning, but this is the part I dig more than anything, is I have a mission. I have a mission from God. I am not just put on this earth to walk aimlessly to try to figure it out. I have a plan. God has given me a plan, and he's invited me to partner with him. He said, Marshall, you did not choose me, but I'm choosing you, and I'm appointing you to go and bear fruit that would last. And that fruit is not buildings and streets and lights and stuff. That fruit is people. And I'm going to put you amongst people. And I want you to just shout my name. I want you to live so loudly that people have to ask questions. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So here's this opportunity where this mission is that I'm, and I also say to you, now the one thing that I notice about this, after this revelation, Peter's name changes. This revelation does something. The revelation of Christ does something to him. It changes his name. This revelation that we have of our leader should change us. It should do something to us. Well, and then it goes on and he says, and I also say to you that your name, it changes him. And I also give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So we have this incredible mission that God has called us to be on this planet and to be the representation of God to this world, to show the world what God's like. They see what God's like through us. That's how they see us. When we give a cup of cold water to a thirsty person, oh, God must care that I'm thirsty. When we hand a sandwich to someone, God cares that I'm hungry. When I put a blanket on a kid or when I'm playing games with a kid, oh, God must play with kids. Because we represent, we are the ambassadors, the Bible says, as though our very lives are saying, look, we implore you, be reconciled to God. We have this awesome opportunity to do amazing things for God. And he's promised that he's given us the keys to this, to live out this life and to be these people that God wants to use. And here's and I tell this to everybody, you know what the difference between me and a lot of people is? I just said yes. That's all it is. I just dropped the oars, and I've just said, God, am I saying I don't take the oars back every once in a while? Absolutely. There are times, and a lot of times it's one oar, and I'm just going around in circles. You ever feel that way? I do. And then I drop them again, and I trust again, because it's like that. But when I do that, and I recognize that I'm part of a movement, that I too am a movement, in order to be part of this movement, that I have to become a movement myself. And when we join together, that's what makes a movement, is people that see themselves as a movement, and then they grow and they join together, and it becomes a movement that can be... And for thousands of years, this group of people we call the church have become a movement, and God has used them. And we need to keep reminding ourselves daily, every day, we have to take up our cross. Every day, you know, you can't, I know that I got some years ahead of me, but tomorrow's not guaranteed. It's today that I have to live for God. That's it. Tomorrow, it could just happen. But it's today that I live. And then you stack those days together and I have a story. But right now, my story could end as far as being on earth here today. And I want to challenge you today to keep going, keep challenging. Don't get comfortable. Don't get like, I think enjoy the ride, have a blast and enjoy it and laugh and celebrate. But don't get so comfortable that it's all taken care of. In Portland right now, there is one homeless person per 200 people in Portland. We are in an epidemic right now. The children that I work with, many of them, they don't even have lunch on Saturday because the city is not providing lunch for them during the weekend. There's a lot of things going on. We can't just stick our head in the sand and say, oh, it'll be taken care of. Oh, that's their choices. And oh, that's their mistake. And oh, they should have done this and they should have done that. My job is not to judge why they're the way that they are. My job is to love them and to be them, because that's where Christ would be. When I think of Christ in the sinner, and I think of that one picture of him with the woman caught in the act of adultery, we spend more time theologically trying to figure out what he wrote in the sand. You ever think about that? What did he write in the sand? I think he put a fish in the sand. You know, eating a Darwin fish. I don't know, whatever. We spend more time thinking about that rather than the fact of his posture with the person caught in the act of adultery. Where was he? He wasn't pointing his finger like the religious people were. He was down on the ground with her like this. The Bible says he came up again. And then he went back down to remind her. And all he said to her was, go and sin no more. Our posture to the world is to be down with them. Not to take our cues from them. And not to live like them. Not to synchronize with them. But to be amongst them. And live. And let Jesus shine his light through us. The scripture says in the message, you call out the God colors. You bring out the God flavors. You show this world. What an awesome opportunity you have. What a great opportunity you have to do some amazing stuff. I hope you've been encouraged today. I hope you've been inspired. And I hope you've been mobilized. And there's opportunities. This is your ministry. Bridgetown's yours. You can come to anything you want because it's yours. Can I pray for you this morning? And maybe you're here this morning and you don't feel like much of a movement. You feel like I've become an institution. I got the Bible in me and I can quote scripture. But it's really not moving in me. I'm just kind of there. And I want to be that movement. Maybe you're here today and I could pray with you about that. And let me pray with you this morning. And thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you this morning for each of these movements in this room. Each of them, God, that you've called and you've touched, and you've shaped, and you've molded them, and you've given them a story, and you've given them a leader, and you've given them a mission, and you've put passions in them. And God, I pray right now that they would be awakened to that, and that their spirits would awaken to that, and they would not just assume the position, they would not just go to church anymore, but they would be the church. Because that's what the world needs. The world needs the church. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, maybe you're here today and you're saying, Marshall, I want to be a movement, but I've allowed myself to just kind of become kind of an institution. Would you pray for me? If you're there, would you just let me see your eyes? Just look up at me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited about you because I'm excited to see what God will do in you. Because the first realization is recognizing, man, I'm not. And God can use that. Because the power of confession, the power of saying, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I know that. God moves to that. He runs to it. And he restores. He puts a new ring on your finger and throws a cloak around you and says, go get that calf and let's have a barbecue. My son and my daughter, who was once lost, is now returned home. Bless him today. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Bless you. Amen.